line up on this network, you're going to get good talk radio from noon on every single day. Don't forget that. Hey, you're listening to the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network, and never forget, you've heard from the radical right. Now all that's left is the truth.
This is the Quality News Network. In Baghdad, as many as 80 kidnapped victims are still in captivity, according to Iraq's higher education minister. The 70 who were released had been badly tortured. They were all taken from a downtown Baghdad building in a brazen kidnapping by armed gunmen on Tuesday. The U.S. military reports 4 more U.S. soldiers were killed in combat missions in Iraq. That brings the American military death toll to at least 44 so far this month. South of Baghdad, in a rural area, U.S. forces killed 9 suspected al-Qaeda insurgents today in a raid. 15 Iraqis were killed in deadly attacks around the capital. On Capitol Hill today, House Democrats picked their leadership positions for the 110th Congress. In an upset for the number 2 job, the hand-picked selection of soon-to-be Speaker Nancy Pelosi was defeated. Maryland Representative Steny Hoyer beat Pennsylvania Representative John Murtha to become the next majority leader. Pelosi herself was unanimously selected to be the next Speaker of the House when the new Congress convenes in January. President Bush is in Singapore as part of his Asian trip to shore up American allies. The president gave a speech in which he called for a rejection of any tendency towards isolationism. The North Korean nuclear standoff is also on the president's agenda. Pakistan said today that it successfully test-fired a new version of a medium-range nuclear missile. The North Korean-designed missile was launched at the end of Pakistani military exercises conducted this week. Chinese President Hu Jintao has indicated that China is prepared to help Pakistan construct several nuclear power plants over the next few decades. Republican Senator John McCain will file paperwork today to form a presidential exploratory committee for the 2008 race. Former Wisconsin Governor and Bush Cabinet Secretary Tommy Thompson also said he's planning to form a committee to seek the 2008 Republican presidential nomination. Nobel Prize-winning free market economist Milton Friedman has died in San Francisco. He was 94 years old. In North Carolina, at least 7 people were killed as a tornado struck their mobile home park. So far, 11 people have died across the South as powerful storms swept through the area. In the past 2 days, officials are still searching for victims, and they say the death toll could increase. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Science and business news are coming up next.
Huelhauser talks to customers of First National, South Valley, and San Benito Banks, local members of the network of preferred community banks.
We're here to talk with people about their business banking. Here's a guy who not only banks at the bank, he helped build the bank building.
Yes, sir.
Do you find the fact that it's a local bank appealing?
Yes, that's just it. It was the local people in the community that originally started the bank, and that's why I got involved.
It's a local bank with big bank benefits. It's part of a network of banks. Does that mean anything to you?
Absolutely. Having a bank that can handle a big project really helps, because some banks aren't tailored to handle big business, and they can handle the big business for sure. They have no limitations to what they can do for your business.
I do my business banking and my personal banking with them.
Both.
Absolutely.
You're double dipping.
You bet.
Above and beyond banking from the network of preferred community banks. Available locally at First National Bank of Central California, South Valley National Bank, and San Benito Bank.
Walmart plans to have its $4 offer for a month's supply of generic prescription drugs available in all 50 states by January. The Los Angeles City Attorney's Office has filed criminal and civil charges against Kaiser Permanente Hospital for allegedly dumping homeless patients on Skid Row. A 63-year-old woman was videotaped getting out of a taxi and wandering the streets in a hospital gown and socks earlier this year. In Nashville, the nation's largest for-profit hospital chain, HCA, will go private. Shareholders approved the $21 billion leveraged buyout. Reader's Digest Association has agreed to a $1.6 billion takeover by an investor group. The biggest radio station owner in America, Clear Channel, will be acquired by an investment group for nearly $19 billion. The buyers will also assume $8 billion of the company's debt. Citigroup is leading a group of investors who will pay $3.1 billion to gain a controlling stake in a major Chinese bank. It's the first time China has allowed a foreign foreign-led group to manage a major Chinese bank. The Labor Department reports that the number of Americans who filed for unemployment benefits last week was down 2,000 from the previous week to 308,000. Light sweet crude is trading at $56.08 a barrel, and near the close of Wall Street today, the Dow once again in record territory, up 53 points at 12,305, NASDAQ up 6, S&P up 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Allie Drell.
This is a top to, you know, what we use on stage, but it's very, very special because if you can see,
yeah,
the numbers all go to 11. Look, right across the board, 11, oh, 11,
and most of
11,
and then amps go up to 10.
Exactly.
Does that mean it's louder? Is it any louder?
Well, it's one louder, isn't it? It's not 10. You see, most blokes are going to be playing at 10. You're on 10 here, all the way up, all the way up,
yeah,
all the way up. You're on 10 on your guitar. Where can you go from there? Where?
I don't know.
Nowhere, exactly. What we do is if we need that extra push over the cliff, you know what we do?
Put it up to 11.
11, exactly. One louder.
Why don't you just make 10 louder and make 10 be the top number and make that a little louder?
These go to 11.
Welcome to Conversation Radio's Night Shift, where the children of the night fight the radical right. It's Foxed Up with John Fox. Foxed Up is brought to you by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. They're building the American dream every day. Be one louder by calling 877, the number 4, head on. That's 877-443-2366. And now, your host, the ranting, headbanging hippie, John Fox.
Good day, everybody. Welcome aboard Foxed Up for a Thursday afternoon, evening, or if you're like Friday morning. This is TGIF for moi. Welcome aboard the show here on the Head On Radio Network. We're just going to continue on with a theme. Well, you know, Kyoto, Australia's lack of involvement, and I've got some audio last, and it's actually quite a chunk of audio, so we're going to have to get into it kind of straight away. But last night, the Australian Treasurer, Peter Costello, was on Late Line, and he had an exchange with Tony Jones, one of the hosts of Late Line. And as you may or may not know, the G20 summit is opening this weekend, and it's being hosted in Melbourne this year. And Mr. Costello is the big bad host for it. Now, Costello is the number two man in the Liberal Party. He's right under John Howard, and this guy. First of all, he's slimy and sleazy. He is dying to be prime minister. He can't stand the fact that Howard hasn't stepped down yet, and has made all kinds of really, really self-indulgent displays of what kind of a prime minister he'd be. But anyway, now the G20 is the 19 richest nations, and they're a non-binding entity, but they discuss international financial matters. However, there's some talk that they may end up replacing the G8. And, you know, Melbourne at the moment is in, like, complete lockdown. You know, unless you're going to shop in the high-class stores, you can't get into the area around the Hyatt Hotel. There seems to be a media blackout on the event. You know, so much for oversight or anything else. But I've been telling you recently that Howard and Costello are talking, supposedly gotten on the environmental bandwagon, but still won't sign Kyoto, and so they want to create a new Kyoto, which is all just kind of ridiculous. And Peter Costello goes through the normal ranting and ravings about how it doesn't do the job enough because, you know, China and India aren't involved, which isn't really true. Now, as we go through this audio, I may break in here and there to grunt and groan a bit, but just listen to how Peter Costello tap dances around the questioning. This guy's a classic at not answering a question and putting out false information. and for those of you that have done any reading on, you know, the telltale signs of lying, one of them is, you know, raised eyebrows. Well, in certain parts of this interview, if his eyebrows were any higher, they'd be on the back of his neck. This guy's just a classic. So, from last night's Late Line, Tony Jones taking on Mr. Peter Costello. Hit it, Agnes.
Costello, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
Now, Al Gore says Australia's proposal for a new Kyoto will fail. What's your fallback position if it does?
Well, I think that when we get to the end of Kyoto, which is 2008-2012, there's going to have to be some serious discussions about the next decade, the next phase, if you like. Some of those discussions are going on now in Nairobi, Kenya, but I expect over time between now and then that progress will be made on the next phase. It has to be made, otherwise the Kyoto will come to an end and it won't be replaced by anything.
Well, Mr. Gore says that America inevitably will sign up to the Kyoto process. That's his view anyway. If it does, will Australia follow?
My view is that Australia will be part of anything that has global reach. I don't think it's just enough for America to be part of it. You've got to have countries like China and India. China will probably be rivaling America in terms of emissions pretty shortly. So I'd want to see something that was pretty comprehensive. If it were comprehensive, therefore, if it treated all countries fairly, if emissions were in the same basket no matter where they came from, then it would be much more appealing to the world and to Australia.
Agnes, just hold it right there. Okay. He's talking about it being, you know, all even-handed and global. Well, at the moment, Kyoto is pretty global, aside from the two holdouts, Australia and the United States. And how you can say... he talks about being fair. Thing to remember is that Australia was given special leniency in the first stage of Kyoto, above all other developed nations. We had a lower target to hit than anybody, and we are struggling to hit it. Go ahead and keep running it, Agnes.
Costello, thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Tony.
Now, Al Gore says Australia's...
Try and jump forward there a little bit.
...proposal for a new Kyoto will fail. What's your fallback position if it does?
Well, I think that when we get to the end of Kyoto, which is 2008-2012, there's going to have to
Agnes,
be some
go ahead
serious
and
discussions
about, a and
about
into it,
the
about
next
the,
decade.
If that's possible.
Security and energy
that?
Prices to canvass yeah. these issues. Security and energy prices to canvass these issues, and they will be canvassed.
So will you be trying to convince the representatives from China and India that they ought to sign onto a system sometime soon, as Australia is proposing, which entails penalties on them for emitting carbon?
No, what we'll be doing is we'll be discussing about the way in which countries get resource security and how it's priced, and the likely effect of carbon trading systems on pricing. And that, of course, will lead countries back to a consideration of their own positions.
But why would India and China want to join Australia's style of carbon trading scheme when they're already part of a global one under the Kyoto Protocols?
Well, they're not part of the Kyoto protocols. And the AP6 initiative, which Australia has already started, is an attempt to bring them in. The AP6 is an attempt to bring together Asia-Pacific countries that have big emissions and to get them engaged in all of these things. And I think...
China is part of the... of what they call the clean development mechanism under the Kyoto Protocol, through which they're able to carbon trade, which is exactly how they managed to build that giant wind farm in northern China and get carbon credits for it.
You can't carbon trade until everybody knows what the global emissions are and everybody knows what each country's emissions are. Because until you've actually got some idea as to where your emissions can go, you don't actually know how much.
All right. We're going to hold there for just a second because we're coming up on our first break. It's coming up on quarter past the hour. And we're gonna continue into this because listen to him just not even listen. Not even, you know, it's this, you know, creating his own reality kind of situation where China is part of Kyoto. There is no argument about this. They, however, like India in this first stage, are given slightly different conditions to work under because they're still developing. And it is us, the already developed nations who have created the mess, that need to lead the way. So with that, we're going to take this first break, and we'll be back straight after these messages. You can get in on the program by dialing 1-877-443-2366 or email me, John, J-O-N, at headonradionetwork.com, and we'll see you right after this.
I think that recent national polls show clearly the concern on the part of the public and that environmental issues are the number one issue.
The 50s, particles drifted, a wave set in motion, the Pacific Ocean, test of the hydrogen bomb, there from would come too close to home, ships on the test put to rest and convalesce, with heavily armed guard, in Hunters Point shipyard, heavy metal sandblast, face mask deoxidized, remove the radiation from the outside.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free, and it's brought to you by the Carpent Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James, weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time, on the Head On Radio Network.
One way employers honor their most cherished workers is by allowing them the pleasure of meeting a quota. Because management is so smart and in touch, The quota is always a realistic goal that can be easily met. Selling 80 sets of encyclopedias this week? No problem. The worker loves his quota because he knows it's merely a target and not a big axe constantly looming over his head that'll determine if he's still employed or living in a cardboard box next month. When you exceed your quota, you're sure to be given a huge bonus. Your boss would not just use this as an excuse to raise your quota in a devilish game of how much work can we pile on Sheldon before he starts babbling and stains his chair again. Yes, the rewards are great and easily obtainable for meeting your quota.
Whenever your phone could look you in the eye, you're just like an angel. Your skin makes me cry. You float like a feather.
All right, everybody, welcome back to Fox Stuff on the Head On Radio Network. And that was Mr. Frank Bennett doing Radiohead's Creep. I love that. We're going to pick up with this where we left off, we hope, with this Peter Costello audio, the treasurer of Australia. Quite a wanker in my book. Go ahead, Agnes.
You're going to need by way of credits. You can trade between countries who do have those limits, but you can't get global reach with countries that don't have those limits.
Well, 3 years ago, for example, a Dutch company set up the first carbon trading arrangement with China. They set up a wind farm in northern China, and they're going to be paying China credits for the use of that wind farm. So they're
absolutely
part of a trading scheme that we're not part of, are they not?
What you'll in fact find, by the way, is that this will be characterised as an aid project. That is, you're giving aid for energy, and then the person that's setting it up actually gets the right to buy back a credit. But the country in which that's located, if it doesn't have an emissions target and doesn't have a price on carbon, won't be buying credits itself. So it has the ability actually to have unlimited increase in energy which uses carbon.
Which is why it's attractive to them at the moment. So how are you going to convince them to give up something that's economically attractive to them under the present system and adopt something which Australia is proposing which is economically costly to them?
You see, Tony, this is the point. If you were to say to China, look, we want you to limit your use of energy, we want you to limit your use of emissions, a country that's going through massive industrialisation. You know what China would say to you? It would say to you, well, you having gone through your industrial revolution and having gone through your industrial revolution and added to carbon in the atmosphere and now telling us before we've gone through ours that we can't do what you did. That's the way a developing economy looks at this particular issue. And there's a lot of truth in that. To which the answer has got to be, well, in the overall global interest, taking into account the fact that your economy is at a different stage to ours, sharing all of the costs, we can move forward. But this has got to be done delicately and well, and it will take time. It's all very well for industrialised economies, particularly European economies, that have done their industrialisation and done their carbon emissions and had their coal mines and gone through it to say this to other countries, but other countries are going to look at this from a different perspective.
Treasurer, that is exactly the point that Al Gore makes about the Kyoto Protocols and the need to sign up to them, because he says since World War II, every global treaty has been made on the same basis, that wealthy countries go first, and then after a period of time, those with lower per capita incomes come along in the second phase. It's the second phase of Kyoto that's now being negotiated, but Australia is not part of it.
Well, Australia is part of the AP6, which is a negotiation with these countries. Australia is currently at Nairobi. Australia has a position which is global reach, and as I've said earlier, and I'll say it again, I think if the world moves to a carbon trading system, Australia will be part of it.
even if it's under the Kyoto protocols?
Well, I don't care whether you call it Kyoto or Tokyo or Nairobi. The important thing is that it's global. The important thing is that it will make a difference and bring key emitters in. And the important thing is that all countries move towards it together.
That is a significant shift, though, isn't it? Because that's precisely what the Kyoto process is meant to be doing. And you're now saying you more or less agree with it.
No. You ought to know where Australia stands on this. We're going to meet our Kyoto target.
No, but I'm actually talking about being part of the Kyoto Protocol system and the agreement, which, you may actually sign up to.
We're going to meet our Kyoto target.
And remain outside.
And we are going to press for wider coverage of Kyoto. Now, you can call that New Kyoto or Tokyo or New York or Nairobi. I'm not going to get into a semantic argument with you, but the point, limitation of the current agreement is that the current agreement doesn't bring in the key emitters, and therefore the current agreement is incomplete. The current agreement won't work well. If you can get an agreement that works better, then I believe that Australia will, as part of a global trading system, come in.
Your key focus at this meeting is energy security. Will you be attempting to convince...
All right,
convince...
Agnes, stop it there. I can't take much more of this. I mean, he contradicts himself, basically, with this whole thing of, saying that, it would be tough to get China to get into something where they're paying penalties for their emissions because they're still a developing country. Well, dumbass, that's the whole point of their status in Kyoto now. And he sits here and talks about how Kyoto needs to be, Kyoto's going to come to an end. No, it's not coming to an end in 2008 or 2012. What's happening in Nairobi right now are the discussions for where it's going to go forward from there. So how can you consider yourself, being genuine at all when you want to create your own little, we'll have our little Six Nation conversation over here and make like we're part of the world. It's a bunch of bull dinky. Trying to watch my language. Roadie mouth almost came out. But I mean, and you got to realize that this is coming from a treasurer who has run budgets over the last few years that have run huge surpluses at the expense of services, transport, help for the poor, all these things, just in the hundreds of millions of Australian dollars in surplus that could have been actually invested in this. So, this guy frustrates me to no end, and he's being primed as the next prime minister, that was the thought at least, but he came out just recently to, on one of his I Want to Be Prime Minister little self-wanking fests, and I think the public didn't buy it. They saw a spoiled brat of a kid going, Johnny won't retire so I can't play. You're a tossed pot. With that, we're going to take our bottom of the hour break and maybe come back to some music. But if you want to get in on the program, dial us up at 1-877-443-2366 or email me, john@headonradionetwork.com. That's J-O-N, John, no H in there. So we'll see you straight after these messages with our track of the day. See you on the other side.
You run the path.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical, you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude Wally and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. Just stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com, your one-stop shop for all things progressive.
Okay, listen up. If you're sick of hearing lies by right-wing corporate pukes who like to pretend they stand up for the working guy, then head over to the Cup of Joe radio show where the truth will hit you so hard you'll have to wear your hard hat. You can listen to the screaming audio at
the Head On Radio Network.
Now get back to work.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hi, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real, but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, forward it to phishing@irs.gov. That's phishing at irs.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484. Thank you.
I'm getting a catcher's mitt.
I'm getting ice skates.
I'm getting a jigsaw puzzle.
I'm getting dying coral reefs.
A blue bicycle.
A walkie-talkie.
I'm getting a severe drought.
Cool black skateboard.
I'm getting melted ice caps.
A killer heat wave.
A shrinking glacier.
I'm getting a devastating flood.
Adults are generous. We're even giving kids global warming. But it's not too late. We can still reduce greenhouse gas pollution. Go to fightglobalwarming.com. Brought to you by Environmental Defense, the Robertson Foundation, and the Ad Council.
Come to me, my darling, come to me.
Welcome back to Foxed Up here on a Thursday evening or Friday morning if you're down on my end of the planet. Time to get away from the frustrations that are Peter Costello. And just not only do we have Peter Costello in our government, we have a guy by the name of Tony Abbott in our government who was who wanted to be a preacher, and now he's the health minister. Can just imagine the kind of conflicts that makes when it comes to, you know, reproductive rights and things. And it was looking for a while like our next government, if it were to be the fascist liberals, would have been the Abbott and Costello government. Boy, that would have looked good in the headlines, wouldn't it? I'm checking. Okay, so I'm just trying to see if we've got our track of the day ready to go or not. Because what I wanted to play for you today was something from the Coal River Mountain Watch folks, and this is a song called "Company Town," which you've heard used as a bumper on Head On with Bob Kincaid, and you know. Being that our home studios are in West Virginia, mountaintop removal is a massive issue for us. You know, one of the most beautiful parts of North America has just been devastated by the profiteering of the coal industry, and you know, it's just it's really tragic what has been done to our planet, you know, in the name of powering a society and in the name of profits, it's just, you know. And so I thought this would be a nice American flip side to kind of what we did yesterday, which was Blue Sky Mine from the Midnight Oil. That's the band. How did I forget that? It's, you got to realize it's still early for me over here. So from the album Moving Mountains from Coal River Mountain Watch, and you can Google Coal River Mountain Watch and buy this album online to help support their efforts to stop mountaintop removal. So here we go, Company Town.
Coal trains run through our veins, moving monuments to better days. That mountain stands over our darkened lungs. It's time to ponder what we've become. In his company town, it's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Yankee bosses worked us so hard for their well-dressed children and their well-kept yards. While coal camps echoed with the mournful sounds of impoverished voices from deep in the ground. Under this company town is what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Our parents' memories of World War II. Round the clock was the American thing to do. Families gathered round their radios to hear FDR say we'd make it somehow in our town. Jobless faces and their grim plight, while four men and a drag line blow the mountaintop off to take its heart out. Now it knows what we've lost in this company town. It's what we know. Change comes hard, change comes slow. Until the bottom falls out, that's how it goes down. Until the money's all drained from a company town. Until the life's all drained out of a company town.
And unfortunately, I don't actually have the artist information for this track, but hey, we'll dig it up. Seems to be a couple of bad links at the website at the moment, but we'll find that information. And just a great song, and nice to hear it in its entirety. So we have Dave from California on line one. Welcome back to the program, Dave. How you doing?
Oh, John, I've become a real regular with you. I believe you were just visited by a special type of crank caller. Did you ever recall a comedian that called himself Professor Irwin Corey? He used to be able
that
to...
That sounds familiar, vaguely, but it does sound familiar.
Well, he's a guy that used to be able to string words together that sounded like he was saying something, but as you analyze it, he was making no coherent sense whatsoever, as was the case with your caller there, that would have you to believe he's about to become prime minister or something.
Yeah, that's Peter Costello. He's just a wanker of the first order.
You've dealt with him before?
He's because this government's been in power for, you know, over 10 years now. You know, he's become a very annoying fixture on the television. And kind of what is one of the interesting things is that his brother heads up Oxfam here, which is a real foreign aid and hunger type of, you know, action network. And he's constantly up his brother about the fact that Australia is extremely cheap when it comes to foreign aid, and they've been having quite the little back and forth in the media here over the last couple of days, because Oxfam and Make Poverty History, which he's also involved in, are down in Melbourne to protest at this G20 summit thing that's going to happen over the weekend, and they're expecting minimum 5,000 protesters outside the hotel on Saturday.
Ah. Well, anyway, you've been sure that that's who you were dealing with, because I would tell you, and I suppose you will experience it from time to time, a lot of progressive shark people encounter some crank callers, and then they're not just crank callers. They're there with a purpose. Here in this country, our neocons hate free speech wherever they find it. If there's a good newspaper, they'll try to have it shut down. And they try to bring in line as much as possible all the major media, that they would never speak ill of the administration, that they'd always find some way to try to make them look good. So a lot of these programs, these chat rooms, people go on and they're able to speak pretty freely of what they're all about. And I can tell you, they don't like it. And I can tell you that they have these Patriot Act troopers that do what they can to disrupt it. Sounds crazy, I know, but they can find ways with their powers to get in and pretend to be whoever they want to pretend to be and try to disrupt or mislead the program or the chat.
It just made me think of a Neville Brothers lyric of, you know, freedom of speech as long as you don't say too much, you know. And I think that is the case. You know, they love freedom of speech until it actually forces them to debate an issue on real grounds. And this is where, you know, people like Peter Costello falls into the, you know, he's a lot like Tony Snow in the way that he just kind of tap dances around the language. It's just it's amazing to me. But because he's done these budgets that have appeared to on the outside created these massive surpluses and all that. Meanwhile, the quality of life in Australia has gone right down the gurgler over the last few years. He is one of these guys that will just absolutely talk nonsense.
Yeah.
Talk nonsense until the interviewer, and I got to give Tony Jones credit, and the ABC, because I love the ABC, the Australian Broadcasting Corporation, because it's actually owned by the people. And Tony Jones did not let up. And I have to give him credit for it because, you know, I've watched many an interviewer, you know, try and push him. And, you know, he just goes so round and round that they finally just kind of run out of time and go, well, you know, thanks, Mr. Treasurer, for being with us and telling us absolutely nothing.
Go back apparently some other place. Would be. We have here a nice little local station, and the news director here put out a line, if I could remember. It says, unless you follow your government loyally without any question, but just step and stay in line, otherwise you could lose your freedom.
Sounds very contradictory to me. Sounds like you've already given it up. Go ahead.
No, he's in effect saying that unless you surrender all your freedoms to us, you could lose them otherwise.
it's just crazy, David. And we're up on our last break, and it's always good to hear from you. Thanks for ringing in to Foxed Up again.
I have become a big fan.
All right, thank you very much, man. It's nice to hear that. And with that, we are going to take our final break and come back, and I have a little something that's completely off topic, and I might not even comment on, but I'm just going to throw it out there for your thought. So we'll be back after a couple of messages. It's coming up somewhere around quarter till the hour, and this is Foxed Up on the Head On Radio Network. We'll see you straight after this.
United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Are you still looking for weapons of mass destruction? Concerned about the future of the Supreme Court? You want to know how government bureaucrats are changing Social Security, overtime pay, or the environment? Maybe you just want to know if the president's lying to you, or when our troops in Iraq can finally come home. I'm Mark Levine. I've got the inside scoop. When you want to know what's going on inside the Beltway, you need a Beltway insider. Someone who's worked in the government and still has sources willing to give you all the news from Washington the government does not want you to know. So for lively debate, reasoned opinion, detailed analysis of history and policy, or just a point of view you don't hear expressed in the mainstream media, tune in to the Inside Scoop. Feel free to call in too. Agree or disagree. All opinions are welcome. It just might make you think. That's the Inside Scoop, weekdays at 2 p.m. Eastern, 1 Central, 11 o'clock Pacific, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
Howdy, this is Baxter Black. And if you're like me, you're concerned that the environment we enjoy today may not be around for our children and grandchildren. All the new technology in the world can't create more sky over our heads or new oceans. The Earth's natural resources, fresh water, land, and even the air we breathe are limited. Voluntary family planning improves the health of women and their children. It also helps slow population growth, which is good for our planet. So help ensure that people everywhere have access to the information and services they need to plan their families and help build a healthy future for us all. Population Action International is working to promote voluntary family planning around the world. Visit us at www.populationaction.org. That's populationaction.org.
All right, everybody, welcome back for the final segment of Foxed Up here on the Head On Radio Network, coming to you from Sydney, Australia. As usual, it's starting to warm up again here after we had that bizarre cold snap. Massive Antarctic blast came up and caused pre-summer snows and all kinds of insanity, and Queensland got hit by some terrible storms. Lots of cleanup going up there. But, okay, I don't even know if I can comment on this. I'm just going to read it. And I believe that Gene sent me this last night, our news ninja. Bush gives go-ahead for building Bush Center in Israel. United States President George Bush was informed on Tuesday of an initiative to establish a center under his name in Israel, a sign of gratitude for his support for the country and its security. Outgoing Israeli ambassador to the U.S., Daniel Aylon, asked Bush for the go-ahead to establish such a center during a farewell meeting with the president and his deputy, Dick Cheney. Bush told him that freedom would be a worthy subject for the center to focus on. Oh, I'm trying to hold back vomit. Mr. Aylon, whatever it is, has yet to approach donors with a request to finance the establishment of the Bush Center in Israel, but does not expect to encounter difficulties when it comes to raising the funds. He says, during his speech to the United Jewish Community's General Assembly in Los Angeles on Tuesday, Prime Minister Omer thanked Aylon for his excellent service and personal commitment. And he also praised Bush's determination to prevent the nuclearization of Iran, adding that for the president to succeed, he will need the support of the international community. I'm just going to leave it there, and maybe even Bob will decide to have a rant on that, because if I start now, I'll just go overtime and won't be able to stop. I just can't even comment. Now, before we get out of here for the day, I also have to tell you this story that I missed yesterday. And being that we are a very, very pro-union outfit here at the Head On Radio Network, and for those of you that may have caught my old show with Bruce Birch, Fourth Estate Radio, I talked very much about the union busting that's gone on here and the IR laws. Okay, this one just blew me away. The manager of a public transportation company, WESPA, reprimanded by the company for walking around his auto replica gun, while another manager is being investigated for allegedly boasting of threatening union officials with bullets in Africa during a meeting with union officials. More than 40 bus drivers stopped work for 2 hours today. This was actually a couple days ago. In an attempt to have managers who both worked at WESPA sacked. The manager who brought a replica gun to work had apparently been involved in an office game in which he played a sheriff. Although after complaints were made by staff who did not know whether the weapon was real or not, WESBUS gave the manager a stern talking to. Now, he says, just scanning down, He says, three drivers at West Bus, all union delegates, and the union officials say the manager told them during the meeting that when he was in an African army, he dealt with union officials by placing a bullet on the table and saying, this is for you. I'm sorry, that just sends shivers down my spine. It's starting to sound like Coca-Cola in Central America to me. And this is bloody, you know, one of the smaller transit companies here in Sydney. I just find this, you know. And it says, unfortunately, this is not the first time this manager has treated staff badly, and this sort of behavior seems to be consistent with a pattern emerging across the West Bus group. We wonder why we have to protect worker rights. You know? I mean, that's just threatening violence. I mean, it's bad enough now that if you're the union delegate on a job and you actually mention to a new employee about the union on the job, the union delegate can be jailed. What do you think about that? Well, I'll tell you what I think. I think today's show was produced brilliantly, although in a medicated haze, by the wonderful Agnes in West Virginia. Thank you, Agnes. Peter Godbold at Godbold Computers for keeping our bips and bobs and things and computers running. The Mid-Atlantic Council of Carpenters, because, well, they make everything here on the Horn happen. Scott Berry at B1 Louder Productions here in Sydney, thank you for the music. And to our mods and our news ninjas, we just couldn't do any of this without you. And Gene, I'm telling you, you're programming my show these days. You just keep sending me such great stuff, and I have to talk tomorrow. I hope to also remember something I didn't get to today, is a Lotus run on biofuel that goes from 0 to 60 in under 4 seconds. I just think that's amazing. You tell me that biofuel can't work. What else can I say? You know, I don't know. I have no clue at this point, because I always end up with this like last 2 minutes with not knowing whether to get into another story. Well, but I don't have enough time. But I tell you what's going to be interesting. Over the weekend, the G20 is going to take place. The protesters are already trying to, look like they're very, very well organized. However, I don't see them getting very close to the event because of the security. I mean, downtown Melbourne and the shopping district is basically in complete and utter lockdown. And unless you're going to go shop, well, and there was even an example, someone, because the weather's been bad, tried to enter the shopping area with an umbrella and was told that that was inappropriate. However, if you wanted to go to one of the very, very expensive shops in the district and buy a designer umbrella, that was okay. That was okay. All right, folks. Thank you for joining me for another edition of Foxed Up. We will see you tomorrow for TGIF for your part of the world. It's TGIF for moi. Always good to share this bit of time with you, trying to spread the green message and do the right thing. So, as I'm going to try and get in the habit of saying, be green, be good, and we'll see you tomorrow.
Yeah, let's spend it all the time.
We learned this little ditty from her, and we hope you enjoy it.
And if you know it, sing along.
Yes, we'd love to have you join us if you remember it. Thank you.
Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up, I'll never stop. Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up, I'll never stop. I've been running hard, running hard, but you got me ticking for the full time. Baby, start me up. Baby, start me up, I'll never stop. You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
You make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Grab the oil, the gasoline. I ride smooth. She's a clean machine.
So I started up.
Started up.
Keep on the start again. That's all you got. I can't compete.
Can't compete.
With the riders in the LED.
Either rough it up.
Rough it up.
Hey, if you like it, you can slide it up. Come on, slide it up now. Grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
Don't make a grown man cry.
Cry.
My eyes dilate, my lips go green, my hands are greasy. She's a mean machine.
Stay tuned for Quality News Network at the time.
This is the Quality News Network. On Capitol Hill today, House Democrats picked their leadership positions for the 110th Congress. In an upset for the number two job, the hand-picked choice of soon-to-be Speaker Nancy Pelosi was defeated. Maryland Representative Steny Hoyer beat Pennsylvania Representative John Murtha to become the next majority leader. Pelosi herself was unanimously selected to be the next Speaker of the House when the next Congress convenes in January. More than a week after the congressional midterm elections, there are still seven House races that are undecided. Five of them are too close to call, and two others will be decided in runoff contests next month. In Baghdad, an arrest warrant was issued today by the Iraqi Interior Ministry for the head of the Sunni Association of Muslim Scholars. The leader of the influential group is wanted for inciting terrorism and violence in Iraq. However, some fear this will increase the sectarian violence in the country. Also in Baghdad, as many as 80 kidnapped victims are still in captivity, according to Iraq's higher education minister. The 70 who were released had been badly tortured. They were all taken from a downtown Baghdad government building in a brazen kidnapping by armed gunmen on Tuesday. The U.S. military reports four more U.S. soldiers were killed in combat missions in Iraq. That brings the American military death toll to at least 44 so far this month. President Bush is in Singapore as part of his Asian trip to shore up American allies. The president gave a speech in which he called for a rejection of any tendency toward isolationism. Pakistan said today